Dearest loving God, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for the joy that we can have in you if we open our hearts and look around and listen to all of the beauty that is here in this little church. The beautiful windows, the beautiful crosses, the people who are bringing their love and their worship. We thank you for the music and the people who have written it. We thank you for the love of Jesus Christ who died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. We thank you, God, for all of these many things. And we ask that you help us to hear your word in the thoughts and events around us. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Be joyful in the Lord. Have a sense of God's joy surrounding you each and every place you go. Now, in the stories we heard this morning, there were some people who might have had a rough time hearing the joy of God in the events that were taking place in their life. You know, in the Old Testament, we hear the story about Joseph. Now, I don't know how old you are, Trent, but this young man was 17, so I'm going to pick on him a little bit, okay? Are you 17?
I'm 16.
You're 16. You've got a year to get to this place, okay? Trent is very able and did a wonderful job of reading the scripture. His heart is in the right place for being here together with us today and helping to lead worship. I'm not quite sure where Joseph's heart was. He was a little bit braggy. He was a little bit into telling his dreams, which happened to be dreams that showed his brothers and even his parents bowing down to him. And his father loved him so. He was the last child born to him, and he was so thankful for him. So thankful that he made him this incredible coat. Now, we've heard about this coat sometimes as a coat with long sleeves or beautiful embroidery or a coat of many colors, but it was a magnificent coat, and Joseph knew how to wear it proudly. And he had kind of a sense of flaunting it in front of his other brothers. And they hated him. They really hated this pompous little brother who was loved so dearly by their father and pampered while they were out taking care of the sheep. And when the father heard the story that now he had the mother and the father bowing down to him, he thought it was time. Thought it was time for Joseph to go out and be with his brothers. So he said to him, Joseph, why don't you go out and find your brothers? And it says Joseph went out to seek his brothers. And to me, that's kind of a sense of maybe better than looking, but seeking them, maybe not just in where they were, but maybe for once he was going to try to think who they were and what they were doing. And so he started out and he began to look and he couldn't find them, but they could see him. They could see him coming and they began to plot on how they were getting rid of this irritating little brother. They thought that they might kill him, and then they decided no, they really didn't want to do that. And as he came closer and closer, they realized it was a big pit or a cistern right there, and they were just going to throw him in that cistern, and that was really the suggestion of his older brother, Reuben. Just throw him in the cistern. So as he got up close to them, they threw him in this cistern, and then they continued on to have a conversation of what they were going to do with him. The interesting thing to me in this passage is we never hear anything that Joseph is thinking or saying. We hear what his father thinks and says. We hear what his brothers think and say. But here we have Joseph, who we know has been telling these stories, but as he continues on this journey and is accosted by his brothers, not a word does he say. Now just imagine that here he is in the bottom of this pit, and the only place he can see is straight up. How fearful must he have been? How afraid must he have been? I mean, have you ever been so afraid that you just wrap yourself up and you choose not to pray or think or anything? You just hold on. You hold on as tightly as you can. I can imagine Joseph just holding on to whatever was in there to hold on to. It might have just been to himself. Did he know that God was there? Did he know that God was watching over him and, in fact, planning for him the most magnificent journey in his life? Or was he just so filled with fear that he could not think about anything? Jesus had had a really difficult couple of days. In the scripture that we hear from Matthew, we hear about the fact that Jesus went up on the mountain to pray. But that hadn't been the first time in those few days that he had tried to do that. He had learned just recently that John the Baptist had been beheaded. John, his brother. John, his cousin. John, who he loved. John, who was the baptizer. John, who gave his life for him. Beheaded in a most gruesome way. Beheaded by people who had such unkind hearts. How sad he must have been. And he wanted to just go up in the mountains himself, by himself, and take a moment and pray and be connected to his Father so that he could talk and be listened to. But as he turned around on his journey up to the hills, he saw all of these people, thousands of people who were following him. And they had many infirmities of health, of their hearts, of their minds, of their bodies, of their souls. And he looked at them and he realized he just couldn't go away and leave them. And so, not thinking about himself, he came back. He came back and he ministered to them all day long. He healed them and listened to them and held them all day. Until finally the disciples came and said, "It's getting dark. They need to be sent away to the villages so they have something to eat." And Jesus says, "You feed them. You can feed them. We have fish and bread." And so we asked God's blessings on that fish and bread, and he broke it into many pieces, and it fed all 5,000 of those people, plus 12 baskets or more of food left over. And as he gave the food to the disciples, he said to them, You go off to the boat. He could see how tired they were. You go get in the boat. I will disperse the crowds, and then I'll be out later to be with you. And so he gave the food to the crowds and he sent them on their way home. And again, he headed up into the mountains. And that time, he was able to reach the top of the mountain and he was able to see all of God's kingdom. And he was able to pray and be with God and be a part of all that God was, including himself. And then the wind came up, and he began to think about the disciples in the little boat. And he thought to himself, "I better go and check on them." And so he went down the mountain about 4 o'clock in the morning, and he looked out, and the wind was battering that little boat, and he decided that he'd better go out and help them, and so he starts out on the water. He starts out on the water just like Jesus might start to come into your life because you are fearful and you have called out to him. And instead of seeing Jesus coming towards them, they are sorely afraid and their hearts are just overwhelmed and they say, whoa, there's a ghost. And Jesus says, no, it's me. It's me. It's Jesus. And Peter says, well, if it's you, Jesus, just call me to come out and walk on the water with you. And so Jesus says, come. Come walk with me. And Peter gets out of the boat and begins to walk on the water. And Jesus reaches out towards him. And the wind comes and moves Peter a little bit. And Peter becomes afraid because it is not as he thought it would be. The wind had not gone away. He was still being battered by the wind. But Jesus was right there. Jesus was right there. And he began to cry out as he was sinking into the water, help me, help me. And Jesus reached out and took his hand and said, it's okay, you're safe, I'm right here. Why do you have such little faith? Why do you have such little faith? And they went and they got back in the boat. You know, I could just see those fishermen in the boat ahead of time, just holding on to the side of the boat, holding it together with their bare strength, thinking they could solve the problem somehow or that they were just going to die. It didn't occur to them that God was right there watching over them and that Jesus was just going to be there any moment. It didn't occur to them that they could give Jesus and God all of their problems and just say, please, please help us. But the minute they invited Jesus into their boat, the wind stopped and it was quiet. For the presence of God had quieted their hearts and their minds and the sea. And they knew that God was there. Now I ask you, how many times have you been so afraid? So afraid that you just didn't know what you were going to do, and you just kept hanging on to yourself so tightly, or hanging on to a friend, or hanging on, just hanging on, when really, really, what you needed to do was to be able to open your arms and let go and let God come into and be a part of your lives. Today's a day when Pastor Father Ken is going to be blessing teachers and books and supplies. And I think to myself, how will these children know that it's okay to open your arms? How will they know that it's okay that God is with them and around them? They will know it by the way they are taught and the way they are led. And if they're lucky enough to come to this preschool, they'll actually know that Jesus exists and that Jesus watches over them and that God loves them gently and tenderly all the days of their lives. It says in our scripture, blessed are those whose feet tread the path that tell of the stories of God. May we tread that path. May we be the people who tell the stories. May we be the people who reach out and touch someone in their fear and hold them and release them to the love of Jesus Christ. May you have a sense of God's presence with you. Hold on tightly to the hand of Christ. Amen.
Amen.